Blog Talk Radio.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Ah, 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 ah.
Welcome to the Spirit of America party. And I sent O'Reilly an email. I told him that the communists are coming after him and to get ready. And if he needed the help of my party of one, I would be the king's champion. Yeah, they're coming after O'Reilly. If you go out on the communist blog sites, they used to call themselves liberals, but they're more brazen today. They're starting to self-identify, and they're calling for O'Reilly's head. They're all they want to destroy Fox, because Fox has exposed that other network and nothing but communists, NBC. Yeah, even Chris Matthews is walking around with a double hernia. It's really bad. NBC and SNL. What did I call SNL today? Snakes Needing Love. Yeah. And I also suggested to O'Reilly, what we could do is, they're coming after him. You mark my words. You're going to see all kinds of people piling on O'Reilly and Fox News. And that's why Sheikh Walid bin Talal got out, because he sees the handwriting on the wall in Arabic. But I said, you know what we'll do? You want to really drive them nuts? That's what you got to do with the radical Democrats. You like that? Radical Democrats? Yeah. I did that. I made that up myself. Yeah. Radical Democrats, radical liberals, yeah, radical communists, devout Muslims. Let's get the proper adjectives in the proper places. Having said that, I suggested to O'Reilly, if he really wants to drive the communists nuts, let's have an Academy Award night before the Academy Awards. And Mel Gibson wins everything. He even wins Academy Awards for movies that he was never in. And that'll really drive him nuts. So welcome to the Spirit of America party. We opened with a cappella and My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And the title of our show tonight is God and Country Forever. And for our Latino brothers and sisters, Viva Cristo Rey. Comunistas play you. You are your own person. You are free. You are free. You are free. You are free to choose. Do not let them put a rubber stamp on you. So here we're doing, I put up a portion of the Declaration of Independence, and it says all men are created equal, endowed by their creator. Yes. You see, this country was founded by God. God is all over this country. The ACLU has been trying to eliminate God from the land and worship their false idol, the hammer and sickle. ACLU was founded by, I think the guy's name was Roger Baldwin. He was a hardcore communist. The New York Times called Fidel Castro the George Washington of Cuba. Now, Cuba has fallen to its knees. It is broke. Their people are starving. If, they got to share one banana between every 200 villages. And they have sent out a cry for a brother communist to come save them. And that's why NBC and Obama are already cutting a rug, doing the conga in Cuba. What happened to Cuba is Russia could no longer supply it with food, guns, and oil. And when the price of oil went up from $100 a barrel to $50, it was all over for Cuba. The price was reduced by the King of Saudi Arabia. Peace be upon him. Peace and big profits appear upon him. Yes, we know the King of Saudi Arabia sponsored terrorism. We're not forgetting that. But what do they say? Politics makes strange bedfellows. The King of Saudi Arabia is doing more for the Ukrainian people by cutting the price of oil than the slingshots that we're sending to the Ukraine. Obama has written off the Ukraine. If you're a Christian country, Obama has written you off. If you're a communist country, you're in. You can get anything you want. He'll even close the entire Gulf Coast to oil drilling to send oil rigs to Brazil, which is run by a communist, and loan the money to Brazil to drill oil for China, which is communist. Obama is a communist enabler. If you're communist, you're going to get help from Obama. If you are radical communist, more help from Obama. If you hijack a religion, you get more help from Obama. So, speaking of hijacked religions, which I don't buy, there's only one Islam, there's only one Quran. There is only one God. His name is Allah. And there's only one game plan. To convert the infidel by the sword. That's why the sword is on the flag of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. So here's a blog from an old rocker guy. And he's got an Arizona symbol, you know, the symbol of the state of Arizona as his logo. And so I've copied it because I want to pay this man homage because he has done the right thing here. And here's what he said. As a former born and raised New York City resident, I believe that Giuliani's handling of the 911 crisis has proven his concern for the citizens and the city workers of New York. Let's review Giuliani's actions that speak louder than words. Yasser Arafat was not invited to a soiree, and he came anyway, and Giuliani had him removed. On a day or two after 9-1-1, Prince Walid bin Talal took an envelope on the stage and put it in Giuliani's hands. There was $10 million in the envelope, and he said, all you have to do is say that it's partly the fault of the United States. And Giuliani gave him his money back. You think the Clintons would have done that? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's $10 million. Oh, no, we're not giving that back. What do you want us to say? Death to America? Oh, why not? Yeah, we're in trouble. So Giuliani suffered 9-1-1. If you want to go to my last night's show, I got a picture of Giuliani comforting a Chinese woman who's in tears, and he kissed her like she was his mother. And that was at the ceremony for 343 brave American firemen who gave their lives trying to save. I think there was 47 Port Authority cops who gave their lives trying to save. All for the greater good and glory of the United States and the spirit of America. And you got communists walking around telling you this country is nothing. It will be nothing if we keep communists in charge. So here's what Rocket Guy said. Now he is showing, he's talking Giuliani, now he is showing his concern for all American citizens. And I got to tell you something about Rudy Giuliani. If you know anything about family and relatives and neighborhoods, you know that when he stood up as an attorney general and went after the mafia, he had relatives and neighbors that were getting to him saying, what are you doing? Stay out of this. Don't go there. He did his job. He's the guy that got Mark Rich. And he didn't make any money getting Mark Rich except what they pay an attorney general. Clinton made the money on Mark Rich from a golden saxophone to extra connubials, allegedly. Did you see the girl that presented the golden saxophone? Huh? Was she a handful or what? Yeah. And then there was money. Had to be millions. And who was the bag man? Do you know? You don't know. You know why? Because you got communist news media Alzheimer's. You don't get to see the truth. You get the 10-second splash by. Eric Holder packaged up the Mark Rich pardon. Eric Holder is dirty. And that's alleged, too. So here's what this gentleman said. Rudy Giuliani has merely said what most of us think. And for that, he should be commended rather than criticized. Well, who's criticizing him? The communists. Learn to say the word communist. The more American people that use the word communist in place of Democrat, radical liberal, use the word communist. It's the one word that fits the bill. You will feel better and they will get nervous. The future. So the following are 21 quotes from Obama's own mouth that, in my opinion, shows where his allegiance lies. It's not to this country. In my Declaration of Independence at the bottom, I say tonight. They're talking about King George and how they're going to have to say goodbye to him. He has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. Then I added, the tyrant Obama must be peacefully, lawfully removed. Freedom of religion must be restored. More tea, anybody? So here's what New York, Arizona man says. These are 21 quotes from Obama's own mouth. 1, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. 2, the sweetest sound I know is the Muslim call to prayer. 3, We will convey our deep appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much over the centuries to shape the world, including my own country. For, as a student of history, I also know a civilization's debt to Islam. 5, Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. Yeah, I got a picture showing a slave about to have his skull split with a giant axe because he's on the trip from Africa across the Sahara, and he's falling behind. And they got his head held up by a tree branch with a fork in it. And they're holding him by the back of the neck so that they can get a clean cut with the axe. Islam has always been part of America. No, it hasn't. The closest, I got to tell you, he doesn't know anything. The closest that Islam has ever been to America is when we did declare our independence from England, and the Sultan of Oman was the first Middle East country to recognize the new America. 7, we will encourage more Americans to study in Muslim communities. You know what that means? Brainwashing. Yeah. Hate America sessions. 8, these rituals remind us of the principles that we hold in common and Islam's role in advancing justice, progress, tolerance, and the dignity of all human beings. Yeah, tell that to the Bangladeshis that were forced to work in excessive heat and died. Yeah. You got to see how other people are treated. I've seen it firsthand. In countries that are civilized. I'll give you an example. I had a partner in Kuwait. We had a business together. Actually, I was helping him for his father's sake because he wasn't measuring up to dad's standards. So his father needed a set of books from the factory that they owned. And it was about 12 o'clock at night, maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. He says, go to my office and bring these books back to me. Well, the son was ticked off. He was ticked off that he had to go out of his way at this hour, ungodly hour, which in the Middle East, they eat late, so it's really not an ungodly hour. But the help at the factory were in bed already, and they slept in barracks. You know what he did? He pulled in, he had him open the gate so he could drive his car in to a quadrangle, and he roused all of the Indians and Bangladeshis that were in the barracks. And he made them stand outside at attention while he went in and got the books. Because if he was going to be inconvenienced, then everybody has to be inconvenienced. And what did Obama say? Dignity and what? Tolerance? 9, America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles of justice. What's justice? Cutting your hand off? There's 101 stories. How about being an American nurse in Saudi Arabia and being slapped by a Saudi? How's that? How about being a Filipino worker and being raped by the son of the head of the house and then being raped by the father and then going to your embassy saying what happened to you and your embassy that's supposed to be looking out for you, like the State Department, you know, and your embassy says, either suck it up or go home. and that's for $80 a month. America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Now, the goal of Islam is to subjugate the world. And when they start talking about slavery in the USA, remember this one fact. The United States got 5% of all the slaves that came to the Western Hemisphere. Most of the slaves went to Brazil. Of all the slaves that came here, 10% died in transit. Of all the slaves that were herded and marched across the Sahara Desert, 90% died in transit. And when Muslims took African male slaves, many times they killed them because they wanted to be in total control of the crowd. And they were afraid that some of those would, big, strong Africans would be a problem. So they killed them and just took women and children. And they castrated them also because they felt they were oversexed. And so they castrated many of the male slaves. Unbelievable, huh? The treatment of people. Do you know when Saudi Arabia freed the slaves? You ready? 1992. Okay. Now, the Declaration of Independence is 1776. All men are created equal. But we left out the slaves. So less than 100 years later, we made the correction. And 300,000, at least 300,000 Americans died. White Americans died to make sure that the slaves would be free. Okay. 10, I made clear that America is not and never will be at war with Islam. And that's what he's doing. 11, Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace. 12, so I have known Islam on 3 continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. 13, in ancient times and in our times, Muslim communities have been the forefront of innovation and education. 14, throughout history, Islam has demonstrated through words and deeds the possibilities of religious tolerance and racial equality. The color of the skin determines what is racial equality, and the darker the skin, the lower of racial equality. You can find that in Cuba. You can find that in Brazil, and you can find it in the Middle East. 15. Ramadan is a celebration of a faith known for great diversity. Be wary of the word diversity. That's a communist buzzword. And racial equality is a communist buzzword. 16. The Holy Quran tells us, O mankind, we have created you male and female, and we have made you into nations and tribes so that you may know one another. 17. I look forward to hosting an iftar dinner celebrating Ramadan here at the White House later this week. I wish you a blessed month. You know, I've got Arab business connections that send me Christmas cards. We've seen those results in generations of Muslim immigrants. Farmers and factory workers helping to lay the railroads. What about the Chinese? The poor Chinese are getting edited out. It was the Chinese and the Irish that built the railroads. I didn't see no Muslims building railroads. Lay the railroads and build our cities. The Muslim innovators who helped build some of our highest skyscrapers, who helped unlock the secrets of our universe. I used to tell a joke to my Kuwaiti friends. I said, the first Kuwaiti just went to the moon. They said, yeah. I said, guess what? What? He discovered oil. Oh, they thought that was hilarious. You think it was hilarious, too, if you were getting their paycheck under royalties. 19. There's only 2 million Kuwaitis, and they got more oil than anybody. How did they, you know, they have future generations funds? Future generations funds. And here, we're $20 trillion in the hole. And we got more oil than Saudi Arabia. But for some reason, we're not old enough and wise enough to drill it. Yeah. We're little children in the communist world. 18. We've seen these. Oh, we said that already. Okay. 19. The experience, that experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States, as Communist President of the United States, to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. 20. I also know that Islam has been part of America's story. Yeah, once upon a time. And last but certainly not least, on page 261, of The Audacity of Hope, he writes, oh yeah, this is one that should be burned into every American's mind. Listen to this. I will stand with the Muslims should the winds shift in an ugly direction. I'm out of Iraq. Oh, Bush failed Iraq. I solved the Iraqi problem. But I'm sneaking 3,000 troops back in because ISIS may need new hostages. Yeah. Okay. You know what that calls for? That calls for America the Beautiful.
America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. To that last part.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's fantastic.
There is a blog site called Restoring Liberty by published by a guy named Joe Miller. And it's a good blog site. Restoring Liberty. And one of the articles that I took from it today is The Betrayal Papers. Under Obama, the U.S. has been captured by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Betrayal Papers will trace the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood in the Obama administration's foreign and domestic policies. State Department stinks. Look at the crap that they've had there. No good. No good. John Kerry. John Kerry is for any country but mine. My country. He should be home shoveling snow in Massachusetts. But he's never in Massachusetts. He's always in Switzerland. Stavos, Switzerland. That's where John's headquarters are. The five-part series will present a picture of a conspiracy that is manipulating the American government to the benefit of a totalitarian genocidal movement that seeks to establish a global Islamic state. Wait until they get the nukes in Pakistan. You're worrying about Iran? Wait till they get the nukes in Pakistan. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get them before Iran gets theirs. The Muslim Brotherhood is an international political, financial, terrorist, and movement whose goal is to establish the global Islamic state, the Caliphate. They have and continue to exert tremendous influence of the American government's foreign and domestic policies under the usurper. Yeah, I'm not even going to mention his name. The violence in the Middle East and across North Africa is a direct consequence of the Muslim Brotherhood's effective control over American foreign policy in the region. They operate through various civic front groups as well as through American institutions who take their money as operational funding. Georgetown University's Brookings Institution. You can close, take that cross off of Georgetown and get the Catholics out of there. That's nothing more than a communist hellhole. In America, we have a weak, there's 107 Catholic colleges that have been totally undermined by the communists. Two, I don't want to throw a number out there and not verify it, according to the Cardinal Newman Society, who watches, is the watchdog. They operate through various civic front groups. In America, we have a weak and struggling economy, growing public and private debt, and millions are unemployed, underemployed, and wait till you see what happens. While a weaponized IRS targets Tea Party groups and other voices of liberty and military veterans are labeled as domestic terrorists by the Department of Homeland Security. There's a revolution coming, but don't use the word revolution. Revolution is too communist-like. Call it a resurrection. A resurrection. Throw that cross up there, boys. We need crusaders. The communists made crusade a dirty word. Cross, a dirty sign. Yes. And they're brainwashing your children. The federal government refuses to secure the southern border. Educational policy now includes the teaching of Arabic and visits to mosques for school children. Internationally, America is in retreat. I think we're down to 31% of patriots. The Middle East is in ashes, and in the midst of the ongoing genocide, replete with daily horrors, you don't think that this press is telling you the truth. This communist press that covers up all of Obama's lies. You think they're telling you about the thousands, hundreds of thousands that are being buried alive in the desert. You don't think they're letting you know all the truth about how bad ISIL is. Present leadership in the White House and State Department, Israel is considered the aggressor and Hamas the oppressed. Got to tell you something about the Palestinians. Many people don't know. They are not welcomed by other Arab countries. Kuwaitis threw them all out. The Jordanians threw them all out. The Tunisians threw them all out. And those are the ones I know about, and I'm sure there are others where they've been thrown out. Now, why is that? Why is that when you open the door and you give them a cup of kindness? What happens? They beat you with the cup and take your country? In sum, the world is at its most volatile point since the outbreak of World War II. Watch Putin. Watch Putin. The hotter it gets in the Middle East, the more he grabs. Millions of Americans are realizing, and China's been real quiet, real quiet. Millions of Americans are realizing that the Obama administration is not merely misguided, never misguided, and he got elected, and he didn't get there by himself. A movement brought him into office, an un-American movement. It is actually and consciously anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Christian. And what I'm afraid of is the last people that are going to recognize that once again they are targets are the Jewish people. They can't believe it's happening. They just refuse to look at it with binoculars. I don't know. I don't know what that mindset is. And it's also happening to Americans today. They are not as wise as their grandparents and their parents. And their great-grandparents. If you think that this is a result other than an incompetent, stupid, or clueless president, words regularly used by those who sense something is wrong but can't bring themselves to own up to the ugly truth, you're not alone. Millions of Americans are realizing Obama is not merely misguided, is actually consciously anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, and broadly anti-Western. The guy is just elected. He goes to Europe and calls the United States aggressors and apologizes for us to the Germans. Yet the American public does not yet fully appreciate why and how the administration always finds itself square against anything this country is based on, religious freedom. You see how they've twisted freedom of religion to separation of church and state. It's freedom of religion. Religion is supposed to be unhampered. But they have turned it around to separation of church and state, and they've used government offices to persecute Christians, citing the law, which they change every day. This series of articles will explain the force and mechanics behind it. Ikhwan al-Muslimun. The root of today's Islamic evil. And they got a picture of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem with Adolf Hitler. So we know that story already. A terror hedge against Stalin and Soviet Russia. At the beginning of the Cold War, working with the former Nazis, the American CIA began to court the Muslim Brotherhood as an ally against the Soviet Russia. Jimmy from Brooklyn believes that the communists have infiltrated the Muslim religion. He also believes they infiltrated the Catholic religion. And he could be right. He could be right. And his point of reference is Antonio Gramsci, an Italian leader of the Communist Party who could not break the Catholic religion, and he found out the best way to do it is to infiltrate it. So they're talking about, for despite all their intrigue and political gamemanship, the Muslim Brotherhood is not strictly a political movement nor a financial cabal. It's also the mothership of virtually all Islamic terrorist groups operating in the world today, including Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas, the Taliban, Boko Haram, and many more. Such groups, all children of the Muslim Brotherhood's fanatic Islamic ideology, are today ethnically cleansing countries such as Libya, Syria, Iraq, and Nigeria of all traces of Christianity. No less than the president of Egypt, Muslim Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, a devout Muslim, has said as much. Considering how the Muslim Brotherhood and their terrorist pawns treat fellow Muslims in those countries, butchering them by the bushel, including women and children, the worst is to bury children alive. How can you do that? How could you stand there and do that? It should come as no surprise that the United Arab Emirates has designated Muslim Brotherhood front groups operating in the United States terrorist entities. In November, the UAE effectively declared that the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE, and the Muslim American Society, MAS, were no different than Al-Qaeda. Why? Because they share a common origin in the Muslim Brotherhood. And now they've got a new headquarters in America at all-American institutions like Georgetown University and the Brookings Institution. They have accepted so much money from the Muslim Brotherhood in Qatar. Qatar, who owns a radio station called Al Jazeera, a TV station, who they bought from another communist, Al Gore. Mr. Global Warming pocketed $500 million and got rid of his wife. He's getting special rubdowns. Al Gore, the man that's looking out for America, thank God Bush beat him. Could you imagine what he would have done? Yes, yet the United States does not see these organizations as the enemy. They see him as an ally. So-called moderate Muslims employed at these front groups have made the country of Qatar, that's where Obama sent those five top Taliban. You know those five top Taliban that he swapped for Bo Birdcall? One was the governor of two provinces. Another one was the governor of one province in Afghanistan. Another one was their head of the CIA, And another one was responsible for the demolition of an entire American CIA unit. And I forget who the fifth guy was. But those five were all traded for Bo Birdcall, who was a private when he deserted and was promoted by Obama to sergeant. Country, you can get all kinds of promotions today. Okay. So, the closest ally of the United States under Obama's presidency, with the enthusiasm from Obama and Eric Holder, they have been emptying Guantanamo Bay of the most vicious killers and sending them to Qatar. And the goal in Guantanamo Bay is to give the Gitmo, the Navy base, to the Russians. That's a goal of the Obama administration. The remaining four articles will explore the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood on American policy. The Betrayal Papers is a collaborative effort by the Coalition of Concerned Citizens, which in Andrea Shea King, Dr. Ashraf Ramallah, Benjamin Smith, and Brent Parrish, Charles Ortel, whole bunch of names, Colonel Thomas Snodgrass, Trevor Loudon. Trevor Loudon is from New Zealand, big anti-communist. It is sad. So, that's what's happening, folks. That's what's happening in the useless of A. Time for a tribute to the troops returning home. God bless you. Thank you for your service. Nobody appreciates you, and they're cutting your salary. But when I'm president, the first thing I'm going to do is raise your salary 10%. And then the second thing I'm going to do is raise your salary another 10%. We're back. There's another article here. Mother F, never happy. Former top Obama advisor reveals a different side of Obama, by Colin Campbell. President Barack Obama stunned David Axelrod, one of Obama's top campaign advisors, during the 2012 election when the president allegedly cussed at him and walked out of their debate prep session. Axelrod told the story in his new book, A Believer, My 40 Years in Communist Politics. I put in communist. Yeah. You know what Axelrod got? He got Michael Caine. You know how he got Michael Caine? A woman who happened to live in his apartment building, but he never met, who was always hanging around politicals, trying to move up the ladder in the party of death. Never met him, but happened to live. Never met Axelrod, but happened to live in the same apartment building. And she happened to label Kane, Citizen Kane, as a hanky-panky boy. Big white blonde woman. And there was Caine, poor Caine. And Caine wasn't able to defend himself. And that was the end of his short-lived ascent to the presidency. Axelrod, on the other hand, come on, you're killing me here. Call a doctor. The former top strategist, oh, he's also talking about the Clintons, believer, Axelrod wrote he attempted to offer some constructive criticism before Obama's first debate with Republican nominee Mitt Romney, but Obama wouldn't have it. He listened after the first debate, though, I'll bet. Read more what Obama's advisor said here. I hate when you have to go somewhere else. Shoot the whole story, man. What do I get in the end? I get a pop-up. I hate pop-ups. Okay, if that's the way you want to be, we'll cut you out. Axelrod's book, Angering the Clintons, too, has been annoying Hillary Clinton's allies with his rash of recent comments about the would-be presidential candidate and her potential campaign. Oh, she's going to run. She's going to run on saving four lives in Benghazi. She's going to run on aid to medicine through her blood clot experience. The staunch Clinton supporters feel as though Axelrod, who is promoting his new book, A Believer, has taken unnecessary aim at Clinton and her team. Yes. That's why they're trying to kill O'Reilly. They're trying to kill O'Reilly. They want to squash O'Reilly before they got to show up and debate, because O'Reilly's gonna expose them. Reverend Franklin Graham, expose why Obama is really protecting ISIS. Obama's use of Muslim gang signs reminds Americans of his 2008 gaffe about his faith. We just read all of his issues. Federal judge orders Obama to stop his executive amnesty. A black pastor has come out against gay marriage. He's in trouble. New study shows cohabitating before marriage is a very bad idea. It was a lot simpler, man. It was a lot simpler before we got, they got a picture of Joe Biden. Joe Biden. You know what they called him? Count Biden. You know, because he got so close to that guy's wife. And they thought he was going to stick fangs in her neck. But Joe Biden is back to his creepy uncle ways. Just the other day, he was caught snuggling, sniffing, and rubbing the defense chief's wife. He is one sick dude. He has one about double-crossing traitors. Ron Paul predicts breakup of the nation, says secession is happening. You know, they got some rules in the Constitution that could allow them to do it. Well, let's see what else we got. We'll give you another tune. Let's see if we can find a... let's do the second choice for a national anthem that almost made it.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His face marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men whole, let us live to make men free while God.
Somebody has a t-shirt that says, I'm one of the people who pays for all the free stuff Obama gives you. I was watching a clip of a hearing today that Trey Gowdy was holding about immigration. And, of course, the communist stunt makers that were planted in the audience all jumped up and started to disrupt the hearings, shouting communist slogans like... we're citizens too, and we don't, and you, there's nothing you can do about it. And Trey Gowdy asked for the Capitol Police to remove them. And I got to tell you, the Capitol Police were very slow. And I think that's deliberately. They got orders too. Yep, take your time. Let them say what they have to say. Gowdy just waited it out. And Trey Gowdy, I'm worried about. I think that he's under a lot of pressure to not do the hearings on the Bee of Benghazi. The woman who hung up the phone, that 3 a.m. phone call that she said she would always take. Yes. And she has to be held. Now, speaking of being held accountable, here's another one that says, the Obama administration has announced that it will not release 500 pages of documents, will not release 500 pages of documents related to the IRS targeting scandal. It seems like it has been forever since Lois Lerner and the IRS have been in the news. But now we're learning what we had suspected all along. There is something so damaging in these documents that the White House simply refuses to release them. There are 512 documents that the administration is holding on to be exact, and they have been deemed to be unfit for public consumption. Unbelievable. I'm going to play a tune when I finish reading this. Well, the administration claims that these documents and emails contain privileged and private information. It has been 20 months since the scandal broke. Lois Lerner has been free to collect her government pension. This is unacceptable. This must end. Last Friday, in an attempt to bury the Senate Finance Committee, the IRS delivered 86,000 new documents. Congress was given no warning or explanation about what these documents were, and they were delivered 20 months after they were originally subpoenaed. But the most important, the White House is still holding on to, 512 pages. What are in those documents? Well, they include some of Lois Lerner's emails, which were supposed to have been destroyed. What the administration seemed to forget is that every email has a recipient. Just because the sender's hard drive crashes doesn't change the fact that the email still exists on the recipient's computer. So a Freedom of Information Act request was filed asking for all emails between Lois Lerner and the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, the person in charge of investigating the scandal. Here's what's even more suspicious. The government is refusing to release these emails because they claim they contain personal communications. Other documents were withheld because they could potentially interfere in an ongoing investigation. How can we have an investigation if the White House refuses to release the evidence? You got a dictator in the office, my friends. And now I'm going to give you the reason why Obama creates abracadabra. I heat up, I can't cool down. IRS got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. My 501c, nobody knows. Every time I submit a name, it heats up like a burning flame. Tea Party names flame that fire. The FBI taps my wire. Abracadabra, they're gonna reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra. 3 years now to get approved. IRS agents on my roof. Asking questions like who I know. What's my religion and church I go? They look for buzzwords like conservative speak. How many members in the Catholic League? Abracadabra, abracadabra, they're going to reach out and grab ya. A committee is formed to check out crime, loaded with democracies who stall for time. Steve Miller denies and sings the blues. He know nothing, only sees the news. I see discrimination in their eyes. They're going after the Christian guys. Just when you think they're going away, another order come today. Abracadabra, abracadabra, they want to reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra. No one knows the next in command. They could not run a lemonade stand. Abandon troops on land and sea. Arrest everyone who wants more tea. Kill the kids before they see. Sell taxable dope to you and me. At this rate, we'll be free. Abracadabra, they're gonna reach out and grab you. Abracadabra. The hearing time, the Dems are slowing. A lot of BS they be throwing. If you catch a czar, they are outgoing. The rest of us are getting a lot of snowing. Abracadabra, they're going to reach out and grab you. The most horrific gun control tragedy you'll ever read. This is for you gun buffs out there. Dear fellow conservative, you're going to have to wear a patch one day. They're going to make you wear a patch with the word conservative sewn on the sleeve. It seems that every few weeks we are shocked by just how low gun control regimes will stoop to control the citizenry and violate their rights. Be the most heinous gun control tragedy I have ever encountered. Gordon Van Gilder. That guy already sounds like 10 generations American. Is a 72-year-old retired school teacher who loves history. Specifically, Mr. Van Gilder loves 18th century history. He loves collecting maps, old currency, basically anything he can get his hands on from the time of the American founding. That included an 18th century flintlock pistol, like the one pictured above. Give you a brief description. It looks like one of those pirate pistols. It has no trigger guard, has just a little trigger. And, of course, the flintlock is on top, and it's a whole thing to firing it. And it looks like one you would see in pirate movies. Now, unlike modern weapons that use metallic self-contained ammunition, this old pistol is a black powder gun. Black powder is legal in the United States. I bought a black powder six shooter. I didn't need to do anything but pay for it. I didn't have to fill out any paperwork. It's quite cumbersome and time-consuming in order to make it operable. So that's why it's not considered a threat by anybody. And here's what this guy says about it. Not unlike modern weapons, this old pistol is a black powder gun. A shooter will be lucky to fire off two shots in a minute. And unlike modern rifle gun barrels, this flintlock is known to have a smooth bore. That means that the musket ball leaving the pistol can spin in any direction, making it extremely inaccurate. Nor, most importantly, under federal law, this old gun isn't even legally a firearm. That's right. There are no federal laws regulating its ownership. That means, as far as federal law is concerned, it can be bought and sold without a background check. And that's what I found out when I was looking for pistols that didn't require a background check, and they sold me the black powder six-shooter. There are no federal laws regulating its ownership. Like so many, but not in New Jersey. New Jersey is bad. And that's another reason why Christie's not getting elected. Like so many other gun control regimes, the law treats this flintlock pistol as any modern firearm. And when Golden Van Gilder was pulled over and the police found the gun in his car, he might as well have been carrying a loaded .44 Magnum revolver as far as the law is concerned. Now this 72-year-old history buff is facing 10 years in prison. That also tells me that the police are in cahoots with the government to hurt the people. Is that what the Founding Fathers meant when they wrote the phrase, "shall not be infringed," into the Constitution? This man poses absolutely no threat to anyone. The gun poses no threat to anyone. In order to reload it, you need to physically unscrew the barrel. New Jersey might have a violent crime problem, but flintlock pistols should be the last of the state's worries. But instead of letting this 72-year-old man off the hook with a warning, the police and the prosecutors have thrown the book at him. Here's what's truly despicable. When a real criminal is caught illegally carrying a loaded gun, he or she pleads down to a lesser charge that doesn't even include the jail time. For the 72-year-old Van Gilder, he's facing a minimum of 3 years in prison. And the law says that if convicted, he has to go to prison. No room for leniency. Meanwhile, the real criminals walk free. I remember my father telling me stories growing up of how dangerous parts of Jersey were. Gangs would deliberately light buildings on fire and then shoot at the firemen who arrived to put them out. It doesn't get more evil than this, but while the criminals are free to walk the streets and prey on the innocent, the state is going after a 72-year-old retired teacher for possessing a 250-year-old firearm. This isn't just happening in New Jersey. It's happening all across the country as states and municipalities continue to infringe on the citizens' Second Amendment rights. Guys, instead of crying the blues, here's what you do. Go out and recruit converts. Converts to the gun. And concentrate on women. Ladies, it's time you armed up. You've been trained to be afraid of guns. It's time to get familiar with them. Join the NRA, take a safety course. You, of all people, madam, need a pistol for your protection. You are vulnerable to brutes, and the only way you stop a brute is to change the thought in his head. You can push it out. Yeah. So, girls, join the NRA and learn to handle a gun. So having said that, we're going to look for a tune. And, here's Roy Orbison with Blue Bayou. This is to all those Cajun people down there in Louisiana.
I feel so bad, I've got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine. Looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou. I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou. Where you sleep all day and the catfish play on Blue Bayou. All the fishing boats with their sails afloat. If I could only see that familiar sunrise through sleepy eyes, how happy I'd be. Oh, to see my baby again, and to be with some of my friends. Maybe I'd be happy then on Blue Bayou. I'm going back someday, gonna stay on Blue Bayou. Where the folks are fine and the world is mine on Blue Bayou. All that girl of mine by my side, the silver moon and the evening tide. Oh, some sweet day gonna take away this hurting inside. I'll never be blue, my dreams come true. On Blue Bayou.
The great Roy Orbison. None better than Roy Orbison. The one time I saw Roy Orbison where it pained me to watch his show. He was on the stage with Bruce, a radical Springsteen. You know, the guy that made a bundle on the song USA because nobody ever listened to the second stanza. I went to Nam to kill the yellow man because there was no yellow men in South Vietnam and there was no yellow men in South Korea. Yeah. Roy Orbison had ruined his image by being on the same stage as that radical Democrat. And Roy Orbison didn't have it easy in life. He had a lot of ups and downs. As a matter of fact, one of his songs I used in a tribute to the kids whose parents died on 9/11. And the song that I selected was In Dreams. In Dreams, because that morning their fathers and mothers went to work and believing it was going to be a beautiful September day. And by nightfall, two buildings were ashes and a funeral pyre smoke rose in the night sky, in the planeless night sky, because all the planes were grounded. So I did three songs, one for the men who died, and that was an Irish song called My Son. And then I did one for the women who died, and that was an Irish song called Makushla. And the third one I did for the kids, and it was Roy Orbison's In Dreams. In dreams I walk with you, in dreams I talk to you. And the reason I picked that was when he was in London doing a show, he got word that his entire family was wiped out in a fire back home. That must have done to that man. Nobody can imagine. Unless you had a loved one at 9/11. Really sad. And to this day, I think about what could we have done to save those people? What could we have done? really sad. For sure, we weren't prepared. Could we have used giant pillows so that they could jump? I know that parachutes, and I learned that there are parachutes that open at 100 feet. If you're 100 feet up, you may get two broken legs, but you could survive in a parachute jump. But there, we weren't ready, and we're definitely not ready now. Obama is sending out invitations, and I see, I thought I heard it, you know that passing news, that 10-second news interrupted by a commercial? I thought I heard ISIS is calling for more attacks in the United States. When that day happens, you can kiss the economy goodbye. When that day happens, everybody's going to be armed. We're going to be like Israel. Whether it's legal or not, everybody's going to be armed. And that's what's going to happen. So here's the LA Times quote of the day, and the buzzword is priceless. This is Dianne Feinstein. A direct quote: all vets are mentally ill in some way, and government should prevent them from owning firearms. Yep, she really said it on Thursday in a meeting in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And the quote below from the LA Times is priceless. Sometimes even the LA Times gets it right. And here's the quote. Frankly, I don't know what it is about California, but we seem to have a strange urge to elect really obnoxious women to high office. I'm not bragging, you understand, but no other state, including Maine, even comes close. When it comes to sending left-wing dingbats to Washington, we're number one. There is no getting around the fact that the last time anyone saw the likes of Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Maxine Waters, and Nancy Pelosi, they were stirring a cauldron when the curtain went up on Macbeth. Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, huh? The four of them are like jackasses who happen to possess the gift of blab. You don't know if you should condemn them for their stupidity or simply marvel at their ability to form words. And that's from columnist Bert Prolutsky of the Los Angeles Times. I'm sure he's being sweated out in a cellar somewhere now. Yeah. Okay, so we know. Unbelievable. How sad. Okay. What else we got? Ooh. We're going to do a little Celia Cruz. I might cut it short. It'll pep you up a little bit, get you to shake your culo.
Aquí está la reina de salsa, Celia Cruz.
Lo que llevo por dentro, hacerles a ustedes sentir sensaciones grandiosas, y en cada nota conjugar cantando muchas cosas. Y cuando la malla de algún son sale poco a poco el corazón, vuelvo con su ritmo sabroso. Cantando yo viajo el mundo, brindando la sangre
About to close. I'm just looking at the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Isn't, you know, 13 colonies or states. And Virginia had two Lees, Richard Henry Lee and Francis Lightfoot Lee, who signed and fought in the Revolution. And I believe they're connected to Robert E. Lee. As a matter of fact, I remember reading a story that Robert E. Lee's father was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And he had a liberal buddy that had a print shop in Washington, D.C. And a mob came in to beat him up and trash his shop. And the conservative stood with him to protect him and was beaten up also and beaten badly to the point that he carried those wounds for the rest of his life. But one of the guys that I remember reading something about was from Delaware. His name was Caesar Rodney. And he rode to Philadelphia with pneumonia on horseback in a rainstorm just so he could be there to sign the Declaration of Independence. And that's what freedom meant to these guys. It wasn't about, what am I going to get out of it? Because, like Ben Franklin said, gentlemen, if we don't hang together, surely we will all hang separately. So it wasn't financial gain or I'm going to get a deal when these guys stood up, because they pledged their fortunes. And many of them died broke. I think one guy was in hiding and lost his wife died while he was in hiding, and he lost his fortune. That was it, man. There was no unemployment. There was no welfare. So I'm going to close and say a good night, and we'll close with a Del Vikings tune, Is It Any Wonder? We'll be right back.
I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue? When I searched the heavens, I found no one like you. Found a rainbow, found a moon glow, saw the light from the great Milky Way.
Have a nice night, folks. Viva Cristo Rey.